Oh, yes. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Now, what's that mean? Some people think that means, ah, yes, the rapture. No, doesn't make sense. You know why? The seven candlesticks are the churches, and the two witnesses are the two candlesticks, which are the churches. And there are only two here which are left standing at that time. So Philadelphia is going to be prophesying and bringing plagues in the world and causing it not to rain, and fire is going to be coming out of their mouths. So they will be kept from the hour of temptation. They're going to be bringing plagues. And what is the hour of temptation, though? You know, like I said, I talked before in Smyrna, there's two sort of keys here. In Smyrna, it said you will have tribulation 10 days. And to me, that's perhaps that the time of the trouble for them would be, you know, between the trial and when they're executed, when they fall under the power of Satan, could be for 10 days. You know, maybe that's what it means. But the hour of temptation is not for us. The hour of temptation is for the world. How are we kept from the hour? Well, it could be because of our deaths. How about that? When the two witnesses die and they're laying in the streets, right? And they are laying there dead, the whole world, it says, is going to rejoice and start giving gifts to each other. That is the hour of temptation. When the last servants of God are slain and the devil has, it appears he has achieved his victory. And the whole world is going to be sucked into this moment where they are going to be sorely tempted, if they have not already given themselves wholly over to the devil, to totally give themselves over, because he seems to have won. The prophets that troubled the world with their plagues and with their prophesying, and who may have caused some doubts in the minds of some, now have been defeated and killed. And now the devil reigns unopposed. That is the hour of temptation. He will keep us from it because we will be dead. You understand that? It is given to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but to suffer for his name's sake. That's a gift. If you don't like that, I don't, you know, what? I don't see myself so precious that I can't suffer a little. I don't know what to tell you. You know, stiffen up. Ask God for a little strength. God can make you brave if you're a coward. God can give you the strength to bear it. I don't think I'm necessarily ready to suffer all these things. I don't much like pain. But I face it as the truth, and I trust that he will carry me through it. What else can I do? But the hour of temptation is not the tribulation period, as some think. The tribulation period, the nice part is these two prophets torment them that dwell on the earth. We are a tribulation for the world. We are going to bring trouble. They're not going to trouble us. Not till the very end, when we're given over to them and to their power, that they may do with us as they will, and they will slay us. Up until that point, though, we're not going through any tribulation. We're not suffering. We're inflicting suffering. We're inflicting trouble. This verse here in this context, it answers to Smyrna's tribulation 10 days. Our trouble is very short compared to the rest of the world. That's why I don't want to miss it. I do not want to miss this. I wouldn't miss it for the world. I think the rapture is not only wrong, it's just a completely unattractive doctrine. In the course of my life, I've become much more tolerant. You know, I've tried not to look down on people who have strange doctrines in their beliefs, because it doesn't serve any purpose. But, you know, I've often thought of it as being a very, you know, like, why would this appeal to people? You know, but like I was saying before, we shouldn't despise people just because they have a problem. You know, like someone who's an alcoholic, well, they've got a problem. Someone believes in the rapture, they've got a problem. Now, you may think I've got a problem because I don't believe it. Well, you know what? Like I said, the two churches are the two candlesticks, and the two candlesticks are the two witnesses. The church is in the revelation. It is in the tribulation. You read chapter 11. Who are those two candlesticks? The sign is interpreted in chapter 1. You cannot get around it. And if you try to get around it, you're just being foolish. Really, it's foolish. It is so one of the most easy symbols in all of prophecy to let us know what we're going to be doing, to maybe get you excited. Wouldn't you like to serve God in the great end time thing if those days should come upon you? It could be far off, but we got to prepare anyways. We got to prepare anyways, because the same things we're supposed to be doing for our lives right now are the same things that'll prepare us for those days. Very convenient. It's much like military training. It's just they go to train to be soldiers. That's it. They train and then they are soldiers, whether there's a war going on or not. They are soldiers. And if there a war happens to come on, well, they're ready. Same thing with Christians. We train like soldiers to become Christians. That way, if the end times comes, well, we're Christians already and we're ready to fight. It's very simple. So it's to try them that dwell on the earth. This time of temptation is not to try us. We are his good and faithful servant. We have kept his word. We has not denied his name. We will stand and we will oppose the Antichrist to the point of our deaths. And that would be glorious. We are not being tried in this. We are the trial. Verse 11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. He is coming. Be ready, like the Minutemen of the Revolutionary War, you know, ready to go at any time, ready to go to battle, not ready to fly. You know. We don't want to let any man in any preaching take our crown. We are wearing crowns in the Spirit. They are ordained for us. And we ought not let any man come in and intrude and interfere with this. Oh, you don't need to do that, Paul. Just believe. Just have faith. Why? You know, hey, look it. You put your faith in Christ. Now you can go out and practice covetousness. Just focus on earning money. Focus on getting a really good paying job. Go back to school. That way you can make money, because that's what's really important. I did not enter into this race to sit down at the starting line and declare victory before victory was properly obtained. I entered into this race to obtain a crown that denotes victory, that I reign with Christ, that I am a king and a priest with him, and no man will come between me and that goal. Do not let any man tempt you away from that goal with soft words and soft speeches and saying, oh, no, no, just sit down at the starting line. Just declare victory, and victory is yours. Don't run the race. I have a little crown here for you. See? Paper. A paper crown with gold paint, or gold and paint, because it's not real gold. Let no man take thy crown. Run the race. Run it lawfully. You got to run it according to the rules. The rules say this is how we need to be. Then let's be that way.
It's seductive. I think like, why are you always worrying about doing Bible studies and stuff, Paul? Why don't you just focus on just getting ahead in life? Because believe me, I'm behind. I'm behind in life. But I'd rather be ahead in the Spirit. Verse 12. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out.